Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Rodon, my goodness, you know, we were in this region, you know, historically, and now you're in Texas, and, we're excited to have you here. You know, you and
good
I had a chance
here.
To be able to spend some time together yesterday.
A lot of fun eating good food.
Yes, most definitely. And at Patty's, Gulf Coast Seafood out there with Jonathan Patty, and it's just a blessed place. And what's so cool is that as I was talking with you, because I was hearing what the Lord was saying to you, that's exactly where Apostle Kaderi and I were eating, and he was telling me the same thing, similar to what God had said. And, you know, just so you know, he's going to be sharing with us about some prophecies that God has laid on his heart and some dreams and all. But first, we want to find a little history, you know, understand, you know, we know about the hurricanes that came through here in the season, but tell us a little bit first about yourself. You know, you're married, you have five boys?
Five boys. I have I've got one 20, one 18, one 16, one 14, and a 9-year-old. So
you need a lot of crickets. Yes.
We're very busy at the Park House, just in our home alone.
Awesome. Yes.
I think our journey has been a lot about that, you know, being a father. The father's heart is to focus on your children, you know. That's a natural thing for us. It should be,
right?
In this hour. Mm-hmm. But, and as a minister and as a missionary, evangelist, teacher, pastor, whatever it is that we play during that season in our life, it's really interesting because having your children in the midst of all of that, working that out and finding that balance was a journey in itself, you know.
Yeah.
I think that me and you talked about it yesterday that that each child coming into manhood produces sort of a direction for your whole family. Mm. And as a father, you start focusing on that, and you see that God's mission is including the whole family, not just you and your wife and your children tag along, but really inviting them into that process.
Right.
And then what's next for them is sometimes what's next for you.
So
as each one of our sons has raised up into manhood, it's kind of dictated the direction that we went. You know, the last one that just graduated from high school really produced in our family sort of a pastoral role we took on because we were starting to minister to all the young men he was reaching in his school and bringing to our home. And it ended up birthing a church in our home.
Wow.
So we started.
Predominantly skaters at first.
Predominantly skaters, yes.
Which for our audience, that means people that are riding skateboards, right?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Skateboarders. And my son was a skateboarder. So in our prayers to see his friends come to know Jesus, as they began to come to the Lord, they wanted to get to know the Lord. And so we started having him in our home and started with about 9 the first week. And within a year, it was about 85 in my living room. So most of which had never heard the gospel. So
amazing, isn't it?
Isn't that crazy in the United States?
And you were talking about how hungry they were. They wanted to know. They were pulling it out of you.
They were. They would ask me, can we keep going? And, you know, normally as a youth pastor years ago, you would do 30 minutes with teenagers and that was it.
Right.
And it had come to the point where I thought, well, we're done. And they would raise their hand and say, can we talk a little bit more? And, you know, they went on for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they just wanted to listen, which really runs against everything they tell us about these kids, that they don't have an attention span. But when you're hungry for Jesus, it changes everything. So.
Yeah. And God's even shown you, too, you know, that large harvest of young folks.
Yes.
You know, come into the Lord, right?
Yes. I worked on the streets all my life as a minister. In the late 80s, I was on the streets of Houston working with the runaway teenagers who were prostituting themselves to the community there so that they could get drugs and everything. We reached out to them, created a home for them, and worked on the streets day and night with them. And I was always witnessing to young people on the streets in front of bars. And in the gay community, I was in front of their bars and just reaching out, loving on people, loving everybody. And it was hard to reach folks back then. They weren't interested in the gospel. But boy, you can stand on a street corner now and start talking about the Lord, and people will draw to you. And not everybody, but definitely everyone's interested in spirituality, right? So it's interesting. If you want to pray with somebody, most people will not turn you down. And once you pray for them, the door just seems to open. And they're very open. The young people are just wide open right now.
Right. So it's awesome. It's totally awesome. So tell us a little bit about, you know, we know about these hurricanes that came in this area, but what did God tell you about these hurricanes, Ivan and Katrina and all, before they came? What did the Lord tell us about that, you know, with the Lord in your heart?
Well, you know, my wife and I moved from Houston to here to start a home for boys in the South Baldwin County area. And we were really doing a lot of fundraising and spending a lot of time ministering in our own home church here in the Orange Beach area. And so we were part of that community, and we had a small group in our home. And our small group, we were here about a year and a half, the Lord called us to go into a 40-day fast. And we didn't know why. So we all corporately did a fast. We were about 30 days into the fast, and Ivan hit.
Hurricane Ivan
hit, and my wife and I, we didn't understand it. I've got them mixed up. I was thinking Katrina. That's actually Ivan. And Ivan, we did not fast for Ivan. I didn't even understand Ivan. Didn't understand why it was coming.
That's when Kurt called you up.
Yeah,
he said hit.
I was like, I don't think it's coming over my house. I'm going to stay here. And he's like, Bud, you need to get out of there, which really says a lot about my discernment of hurricanes. So we got on the road too late, and we ended up stuck on I-10, and I had to go north to I-20, and we ended up going back to Houston to get my family out of there. Took us 18 hours to get to Houston, unloaded my family, turned around and came back, and we worked ground zero. The very morning after the hurricane, we were at ground zero, Orange Beach and Gulf Shores with our team, you know, cutting people out with trees. They were stuck in their places.
It was tragic.
Couldn't get out. Yeah, it was very bad.
Very tragic.
Very difficult. The church we were going to at the time, it had become ground zero for FEMA and for the National Guard. And that particular church really was reaching out to the whole community along the beach there. And FEMA really enjoyed watching and seeing how the community worked together, the body of Christ worked together to love people and to serve them. And so FEMA, apparently we got a reputation down in Orange Beach. And so when Katrina hit, our pastor was asked by FEMA to fly over the area where Ground Zero, where it hit, which was Waveland, Mississippi, and ask us if we would come to Ground Zero and serve. And so I was in Ground Zero at both hurricanes, and God really spoke to me at Katrina. We were there probably about 3 or 4 days serving and loving people, and we sat there for a little bit, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to pay attention to everything you see here. He said, because everything you see is going to I'm going to show you on a greater level in the future. Well, you know, my human nature was, does that mean we're going to have some sort of giant tidal wave? Because Katrina was pretty rough. I mean, it destroyed everything. And I was really concerned about that. And so years later, you know, actually just a few months ago, the Lord spoke to me about that and reminded me of that hurricane. And then I had a vision of the three Category 5 hurricanes that came in that 12-month period. And my wife and I, at the same time, we were in a long fast here in Houston just a few months ago, back in May. And I had been in this fast with my church there in Houston. We've had a church now. And we were fasting and really just focusing on our community about God bringing Pentecost, true Pentecost, this last Pentecost. And our 40-day fast as a church was ending on Pentecost, and we thought, well, Lord, we're just going to pray for our community to be an outpouring of your Spirit and love our people. And
I want to hear about that. We're going to go to break, but this is how it builds to what we're talking about right now. This is exciting. And we were talking about the hurricanes and how God has been going to speak to you, and you're in ground zero, and you ended up back in Houston, but yet God's beginning to speak to you. But talk to us first about, you know, you saw this movie here, and it was a movie that had to do with wolves,
right?
You know,
It was a Liam Neeson movie. I can't even remember the name of it, but it had something to do with him being he was kind of a survivalist, and he ended up in a plane crash, and he was stuck in the snow, and the people who survived the plane crash, the wolves devoured them one at a time through the movie. It was a very brutal movie, and it was really interesting because the movie was really focused on survival, and yet when these men were collectively together, each talked about their spiritual journey, which was really odd. and their relationship with God, because the wolves were picking them off one at a time.
That's exactly what, you know, Paul said, I warned you day and night that wolves would come in amongst you, the church, mm-hmm. even from your own number. And he said for 3 years he didn't stop warning them about this reality. So you look at that. I'm hearing what you're talking about, this movie, and it sounds right. like it's what's happening in the church.
What's interesting is that movie for me, I would normally not have gone to that movie, but I just felt compelled to go to this movie. And in the middle of it, the brutal, you know, the deaths of most of the, it was too much at times, but I didn't really, you know, I didn't know what really why I was in there. So I get to the end of the movie, and the guy, Liam Neeson's character, mm-hmm. Is atheist. But he's angry at God because he curses God as the wolf starts to attack.
So he doesn't believe in God, but he's angry at God.
Yeah, right. Same simple atheist deal, right? So he's angry and he curses God, and then he fights the wolf and the wolf kills him. That's the end of the movie. It's a very odd movie. It ends very weird. And I left the theater and really didn't have any preconceived ideas as to what all that meant. And I hit the bar on the exit door. And I went into like a vision. Mm-hmm. I don't have visions. I have mm-hmm. dreams at times and mm-hmm. prophetic words, but not visions. And so I had this really strong vision. And in the vision, I saw the Lord starts to speak to me, and he shows me the church. Mm-hmm. And he reveals that the church, that he said, I want my church back.
Right.
And he says, and I'm going to take her back.
And that when you and I first sat down, you know, you're asking me, you know, what is the Lord saying? And the first words probably were, you know, he wants his church back.
That's right.
And then you got to explore, you know, what does that mean?
Yes, exactly.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. And we started talking about that.
Right,
and
right,
the whole deal was, what does that mean? And what vision did I see? Well, I actually got so caught up in the vision that I didn't know where I was geographically at mm-hmm. some point. I ended up back in my car, and I just was staring off into space. Mm-hmm. I ended up in another parking lot later in my car, because I'd start trying to drive, and then the vision was even more clear. Mm. And the Lord would speak to me and say, I have held off for the mercy of the leaders. Wow. But that mercy...
So he's been having mercy towards the leadership of his
right.
church. He's
mm-hmm.
been holding off a while, so the mercies of God.
Yes, wow. The mercies of God.
Quite often we mistake that for permission.
Yes.
Yeah, we can keep doing what we're doing and everything's
right.
all
God's
right.
God's blessing.
But
it.
It's mercy.
Right, right.
Wow.
That somehow that mercy for this moment really is considered God's blessing, is what you're saying,
yes.
right?
Yes, and it's not.
No, it's God's love that's saying, hold on, stop. And so my wife and I were talking about this genetically modified food that we're all, you know, we don't like.
Right.
And we were saying, you know, the church has become... genetically modified.
A hybrid church.
A hybrid.
Yeah. Which is a seedless, non-reproductive.
It don't reproduce.
Right.
Yes. The whole, you could do a whole teaching on that, right?
Right.
So it's like, it's genetically modified by man.
John Paul Jackson prophesied that God's going to bring judgment on the hybrid seed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Yeah, very specifically.
Huh. So we were sitting there not too long ago talking about that, and in my vision the Lord said, I want my church back. And he said, I don't want it to be a man church, I want it to be my church. Mm-hmm. And I saw in the vision many leaders who had drawn the church, the bride, to themselves mm-hmm. and made it about them. Mm-hmm. And we all know there's a ton of stories you can talk about, and then we can talk about why men do that,
right.
you know. But the truth is that God was saying to me, my mercy is coming to an end for these leaders.
Oh, so this whole window of mercy, judgment comes after mercy if we don't
That's
respond
right.
in that mercy. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right.
And so then I just, I heard the Lord speak clearly to me that
he's jealous.
He's very
for
jealous
church.
For his church
he
and
wants
that
his church.
He wanted her back.
Isn't that amazing to be loved that much
yeah.
that when he sees us being taken advantage of, mm-hmm. you know, he gives them opportunity to say, you know, let him or her go,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to take my church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's going to have a church. He's going to have a bride,
yes.
right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then I saw these mixed seed churches. I saw the people coming out of them and not having a shepherd mm-hmm. for a season mm-hmm. because the seed had to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
kind
mixed
of like a mixed
seed.
Up.
Yeah.
Bad seed, good seed.
And, but God would be with them in that time,
mm-hmm.
and then they would come together as the true bride of Christ in his timing.
Wow.
Right? And that he would bring them under leaders who would not make it about them. You know, the eunuch in the courts, Esther.
Mm-hmm.
In the court, the eunuch prepared Esther, you
right.
know, for the king, right? Mm-hmm. I heard a teaching a long time ago that the purpose of us leaders is that we are the eunuch of the court preparing the bride mm-hmm. for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that if that's the case, that we do not need to adore the bride for ourselves.
Right.
That as a leader, we're just preparing her so that she looks beautiful for right. her bridegroom king.
It's all about him.
It's all about him.
Right.
And so the Lord is going to be tearing that away. And so this was 3 years ago.
So know. Then so what is not of him is going to be ripped away from what is him so he can separate.
Right.
It's
that's
like
right.
a purging, I guess.
That's right. That's right.
And so it may look pretty rough then, wouldn't you think? Because mm-hmm. everybody says they're Christian in America almost. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
If you go, we had people that did a survey and kind of went house to house, and they're going like, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's like, everybody's a Christian. You know, everybody says that they're a Christian almost. It's amazing.
Right.
Which Christ follower, and I guess at that time it would be like a different, we'd find out who's...
Well, when you tear it away, I mean... that's really going to be difficult. We may even be seeing the great falling away in some of that.
Okay.
You know, me and you talked about that. Mm-hmm. But is it possible this is part of that great falling away, that the tearing away is so difficult and painful
mm-hmm.
that many would perceive God to be evil or wicked or mean
right.
and just turn their backs on him, you know?
So they have this mindset of who God is, but it's not who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're okay with that because
right.
and then all of a sudden you find out who he is
mm-hmm.
and it just rocks your paradigm.
Absolutely.
And you
got to
either decide, is the God that I made in my own heart God, or is this God that showed up that says he's God and his son is Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. I mean, that this directive from him, I mean, that's a big determining factor. It's almost like the Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel, saying, okay, you're going to need to choose who you're going to serve, who you're going to follow, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, Pascal, I believe it was Pascal who said, and I'll probably misquote him, but I think he said something like, God made man in his own image, and man returned the favor.
wow.
I heard a friend of mine telling a story about these missionaries come on this tribe, and the tribe was worshiping the volcano or some mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And they were worshiping this god on the mountain, and apparently somehow the witch doctor or something would go up every evening and stand before the mountain, and they would worship this giant shadow on the mountain that looked like a giant man. And what it really was is when the sun would set behind them in the evening, the shadow of the man was, the witch doctor would be on the side of the mountain.
Wow.
And in truth, that's what we've done. We've worshiped the shadow of man instead yeah. of God himself.
The creation rather than the creator.
That's right. And, I mean, that's the age-old thing right. in Isaiah where he talks about going up on the mountain, going into the forest and carving out an idol and then with your hands carving that idol and then right. worshiping it.
Right, right.
That you carved with your own hands.
Right, right.
And yet we're carving with our own minds a God that's based and established around our emotional well-being, that's yeah. established around our view of what we think daddy should be.
Right.
That's formed around our fears and our insecurities.
Right.
You know?
And I is a consistent theme in all that,
absolutely.
Which would be idolatry, where mm-hmm. we're actually making worshiping mm-hmm. ourselves rather than worshiping God, kind of putting him second.
That's right.
So now, in regards to when these hurricanes, I know that God began to show you, you know, what did these mean when mm-hmm. you encountered him in regards to their synergy, but also their bands and all these different words have been spoken over the Gulf Coast, and I've talked to a lot of people. And one consistent thing I noticed that everybody who hears this sometimes just thinks that God's just speaking to them.
Right.
And God's like,
if
it's his church, it's all of us. I mean,
that's
when
right.
you succeed,
mm-hmm.
I succeed. When mm-hmm. I succeed, you succeed. He is glorified.
That's right.
And so if anybody is advancing anywhere, the kingdom of God, we should all celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, you know, so what's the Lord showing you specifically about this hurricanes and the bands. We got about a minute before we go to break, but begin to talk about the, because the bands kind of reached out to those areas that you were seeing, you studied that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we didn't, I didn't really understand the whole three hurricanes in Category 5 until I saw the vision. And then what I realized was is that in a one-year period when I back did the research, when God showed me the vision of the three hurricanes in 2004 and 2005, but in 1 year, according to the Jewish calendar, Ivan, Katrina, and Rita really were Category 5s in the Gulf, but came ashore Category 3s. Category 5, grace. Right? And when they came ashore, three meaning God, the Trinity. Right.
And their names? Were their names?
Each one of them. The first one was Ivan. Then the second one was Katrina. And the third one was Rita.
And what's their names mean?
Ivan is Slavic for John, the beloved. Right? And Katrina, of course, we all know from Chuck Pierce's prophecy, the cleansing.
Purity.
Right? And then, of course, Rita is short for Margarita, but the Rita actually stands for she knows.
Wow. Right? The beloved knows.
The beloved knows who she is. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And it kind of just went, and Katrina went straight north, was that right? Right up out the Mississippi over to Pittsburgh area?
It came ashore, is it Burns, Louisiana, I believe? And it came ashore there at Waveland. Went north.
And we went
Vicksburg.
To Waveland. It was horrific.
It was horrific. Saw,
just slabs. It was flat.
Just flat.
Yes,
nothing but
tragic.
Slabs.
Yeah.
It was very tragic. We worked right on ground zero there. I saw people crawling around in the ditches trying to find their belongings.
I still have scars in my heart from because you couldn't. You could help, but you couldn't fix.
No, you couldn't.
It was just brokenness.
It was destroyed. Nothing but stubs for those big oak trees. Yeah. They were just stubs sticking up out of the ground because they had a huge wave come through there.
I'll never forget this one lady, and we're going to come back, but this one lady was standing on a flat slab. And everything was just flat everywhere, and she's picking up, has like one or two things in her hand, standing in the middle of this slab, and you just see her like it was like a picture and something that meant something to her, and there's just nothing you can do. You wanted to fix it, you want to do, but you can't.
That's right.
It just hurts. It's painful. Exactly. This is exciting hearing what God is saying, and so I mean, there's obviously if you've been on this journey with God, and you can't tell everything in five. I mean, it's amazing that some amazing things happen in your family's life. And,
yes.
And God has a way of getting our attention.
He does.
Yeah. And
very
then,
much so.
And then He has a way of helping us kind of hone out and get rid of the hay, wood, and stubble. It's like, what was I thinking? Who cares?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And
we talked about that.
Yeah. And then
in our journey,
You have the lepers that were outside the camp, and they said, if we die, we die. We're just going to go in. And when they went in, they found out that everything was given to them. They had this entire, the enemy left, and God was giving a sound to the enemy of Israel, and they were running. And when they showed up, it was so good, they thought, we better go tell somebody about this blessing, because they're going to kill us,
Right.
And so, God has a way of getting our attention. And so this move of God, what is God showing you about the Gulf Coast? And and what He's going to do. I want to hear from what He's specifically saying to you.
Well, in seeing those three hurricanes, the Lord, I was down in Houston, and I was invited to a meeting with Smith Wigglesworth's great-granddaughter. It was a private meeting of intercessors and precious people who just are hungry for the move of God.
Right, right.
And there's a woman there that, I forget her name, but a friend of mine invited to the meeting, and we got there, and Smith Wigglesworth's granddaughter shared the vision that her grandfather had when he prayed over Lester Sumrall. And in the vision, he talked about the coming revivals in 1939, and he said the last great revival would be marked by healings, and that the hospitals would be emptied.
Wow.
And it would be the greatest revival in history.
And he had a huge healing ministry.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Lester did, too. And so when in the prophecy, and I don't have it here in front of me, we can't quote it, and I think you guys have it as a resource. Do you have it there?
I think maybe. Here we go.
Yeah. At the last part of it, it says right at the very end.
We'll make this available to you on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com, and we'll make sure that Lester Sumrall, Smith Wigglesworth's prophecy.
Yeah. And he says, I see the last days revival that's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. It will be greatest revival in the world has ever seen. It's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. I see hospitals being emptied out, and they will bring the sick to the churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. And Smith Wigglesworth's granddaughter and the lady that was there both indicated that they believed that the Gulf Coast was where this was going to start.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, they're really passionate about Galveston, mm-hmm. and they believe God's going to move there, and they're very excited about it. And we had a great prayer meeting. Then I came here. Mm-hmm. The Lord sent me here during a long fast right after that.
Which is still on the Gulf Coast.
Which is still down here on the Gulf Coast, because I've got some folks here that we're in, you know, we love and we're just in community with still, and mm-hmm. just loving on them and mm-hmm. encouraging them. And in that process, God revealed the three hurricanes and said, this is how I'm going to move.
Okay.
He says, pay attention to the three hurricanes again. So he reminded me of that time that I was sitting at Ground Zero with Katrina, and he reminded me of that moment. And he said, I'm going to first start with hurricane number one, with Ivan, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to move to hurricane number two, which would be Katrina. And I was like, oh, so there's going to be destruction. And the Lord said, no, it's my spirit that I'm going to come in bands, right? And just like a hurricane, I'm going to come in. And he said, go look it up. So I looked up the tracking of the hurricanes. And of course, Ivan goes straight up through Alabama, Selma, mm-hmm. the areas where racism and all mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. We had our start with the civil rights movement, and is going to move right up all the way into Virginia, and it goes out to back out into the Atlantic. Well, Ivan did this really interesting thing. It went out in the Atlantic, reformed into a tropical storm, and went all the way around to the Louisiana coast near Texas, and came ashore and caused more damage.
So it came in the Gulf twice.
Come in the Gulf twice, mm-hmm. and which is interesting tying that in.
It's so, almost like a second move, because you had the second. Brownsville outpouring and mm-hmm. Father's Day 1995, mm-hmm. and then now you're going to have another outpouring right. on the Gulf Coast again.
Absolutely.
Think, wow.
So the Lord says, now look at Katrina, and I saw Katrina, which goes up and it moves up through, I believe it's Lake Erie, and then goes along it goes up through the states, the Midwest, and then of course Rita, which hit the Houston area. Mm-hmm. All three, of course, Category 3 is coming ashore. Rita goes up and right to the tip of Lake Michigan, mm-hmm. up near, you know, Milwaukee area, right. which is really interesting, because all three of them, if you look at their track, they cover the whole Midwest and the entire eastern seaboard when they go up mm-hmm. through there. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, this is my revival, and this is how it's going to move. And so
It's like a great awakening. It sounds like that.
Yes.
It's like a third great awakening.
That's right. And so I was like, well, I'm crazy here. I see a vision and I'm thinking, okay, well, yeah, right. Rodon, you're losing your mind. Mm-hmm. So I just, because you kind of do that sometimes when it's so amazing and so crazy, you just kind of lose track of where you're like, wait a minute, maybe I'm losing my mind here.
Right.
So I started kind of looking up these prophecies just mm-hmm. to say, is there other prophecies out there that are saying anything about this? And boy, you know, of course, I'm sure with y'all's show, mm-hmm. you've opened up some of these. And the first one that really fascinated me was Cho's, Yonggi Cho's, mm-hmm. pastor of Korea. You know, he prophesied in, I believe it was in the 80s. The Lord told him that a great revival would come, and it would start in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting in that prophecy is it says it would move west along the coastline.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so if you start with Pensacola and you move west, the first, when Ivan came ashore, you know, the eye went right over Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, which is directly west of Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Katrina,
right.
which is west of there, was Biloxi, mm-hmm. you know, Waveland. New Orleans, right? And then, of course, Rita hit somewhere between the Sabine Pass and Galveston. Mm-hmm. So it hit all up in that area, so right on the Texas border. And so I'm very encouraged by that.
It's like a progressive, if the move of God is like that, you're talking about, it's like a progressive move starting in Pensacola and working its way all the way to Texas.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, with Hurricane 2, which is really interesting, the eye is not, although it looks formed on, it's really wide. Mm-hmm. And the swaths and the bands are really wide.
Right.
So it's not a building. Mm-hmm. It's not an exact geographical location.
Right.
But it's moving.
Right.
And it's very large.
Right.
And the bands.
We're believing the no building can contain what's going to go on.
Absolutely.
They're
going to
be like, almost like training stations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, it's interesting that I found out then there are a lot of people positioned. I had remembered years ago with the Bay of the Holy Spirit
yes.
Bay
and
the move of Rick and them that did the Rick Joyner and them, they did the blowing of the horns over Mobile Bay in the 90s and the Lord had spoken to them about it, and I'd forgotten all about that. And then I found a bunch of prophecies by some intercessors in the last 10 or 15 years about Vicksburg, Mississippi, and Jackson, Mississippi, that God showed them that there was a great move going to come through there up the Mississippi River. Well, you know, if you look at the track, this is very close to there where Katrina comes up through there. And, you know, if you remember the Weather Channel, when all those were telling us that there would be a cycle, that this was part of the global warming, and that the hurricanes would, every 5 years, or I believe or 6 years, it was a cycle, and that we would see more Category 5s in about 5 or 6 years. Well, you know, it's been 8 years. I went on, looked, and looked at the history, and, you know, we've had some ones and twos enter the Gulf, but nothing since then other than Ike, which went to Houston and hit Houston again. So, which... You know, when you think about that, it's almost like the Lord said, well, I'll show you. I meant to make a statement here. And so the hurricanes have kind of just dissipated as far as the Gulf Coast is concerned. So interesting stuff, whether it's truth or whether I'm just having, I had bad pizza that day. Who knows? But we'll see, right?
But it's like, but it's confirming because so many of us have seen, you know, what you've seen. Also, they saw a wave, right? There was an experience you had with somebody that saw a wave.
Well, we had an intercessor on our team. She's a missionary to Romania, and she moved to go to work with us on staff. And she was praying when she came here with us to Alabama to just work with some of the folks. She said she was praying, and she saw a wave coming, and she said, oh, no, Lord, not destruction again on this area. And he said, oh, no, it's not destruction, you know, but it is my spirit. And so, you know, she has no idea about the prophecy. And so a friend of mine who's an Indian pastor, he lives in India in West Bengal, and he calls me pastor, which is funny. He really blows my mind, his faith and his love for the Lord. And so... We spend a lot of time in texting back and forth because of technology. I can talk to somebody in India like we're right here, which is great. I love that. But he texted me months ago and told me that there would be a great revival come through this area. And he has no idea. Yeah, he's completely disconnected from the West. So he is very accurate. Every time he's spoken to me, it's been right on the money. And out of the blue in February, he said that a great revival would come, and then he spoke to me again, I believe it was in May, and he said it would come up, it would start here in the lower Alabama area and go up through the East Coast. It would go all the way out onto the East Coast, and he said, and then around the world.
Wow.
Years ago, I used to see this vision of the southern part of the United States. You know how those, it shows on maps sometimes where the planes for the airlines, where the flights go to?
A hub.
Yeah, a hub. It'll show you, you know, and when they have it animated, you'll see them go out. This is what I saw years ago, and I kept seeing it coming out of the southern part of the United States, and I didn't understand why, what that meant, and the Lord was really showing me. And, of course, in graduate school, I studied church history. That was my,
I loved Regent University.
Regent University in Virginia, And Dr. Vincent Sinan was my professor and also the dean of the university, and he's a really incredible teacher, and he's well known historically for being the guy who knows Pentecostal history. And he's written a number of definitive books and done a lot of research. And it was really neat to sit under him and listen to him talk about the revivals of history and the behind the scenes of those revivals. And me and you were talking about this the other day, yesterday, about the catching of what God's doing and holding on to it, you know. And having the vessel to be able to do that. You know, if you want a visitation with God, he'll visit. You know, and the visit is very important because it brings about true repentance. But if you want an indwelling, then your personal life has to be a place for indwelling. Whether it's you or your community in which you worship the Lord in, if there's an anti-dwelling, abide in me and I will abide in you. If we're not teaching the people the abiding life, then when God's visitation comes, it is just that. A visit.
And gone.
And that's what we've seen in history. And usually when it's gone, that's a huge vacuum that has to be filled with reality.
God's presence requires everything he's always said. It you does. Know, it's like we ask him to show up, but when he shows up in his fullness, which means, you know, read the instruction manual, repentance, character, integrity. There's one thing, a move of God, you know, that, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, was talking about, is that you got to have the character for it. Mm-hmm. You got to have integrity because you're going to be tested at every possible point. We're fixing to go to break. I want to hear more about the 60 days, four blood moons, but also I want to be able to remind you that this month, Art Thomas is coming, talking about releasing healing. The whole conference is called Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast. Because God, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, the fullness of God should flow in your life. It should totally flow in your life. And it's not about big men, little men, big women, little women. God wants the fullness. It needs to be part of our culture. And we're beginning to see it. We just had six healings just the other Sunday at the VFN Dream Center. We're beginning to see healings take place. But it's going to be where people are going to come to the light of your glory, God in you, and they're going to receive from the Lord, because know ye not that you're the temple of God, that God's Spirit dwells in you. Make sure you sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. Space is very limited, and we believe the people are coming, the ones that are going to want to take what God is doing and begin to apply it on the Gulf Coast and wherever they're coming from. Brodon, talk to us about, you know, we're like four blood moons. You know, we've talked to our audience about the four blood moons all the way through.
Right.
And we're coming towards the end of the four blood moons. Mm-hmm. Israel's surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
Our own government has participated in signing treaties with haters of God, whose son is Jesus Christ, haters of America, and haters of Israel. And if you have any Bible literacy at all that says, that ain't good.
No, not good at all.
And you abandon me, I abandon you, is what God says. And so mysteriously, one of the negotiators got a broke leg in the middle of it. I was just wondering, my goodness, did they pull him in a back room and say, you're going to do this, you know, the old-fashioned way? Because the deal they cut was just horrific for Israel. And as a matter of fact, we have Congressman Jeff Miller coming to the Gulf Coast to talk to us about to AIPAC and all of us gathering here to find out, you know, we've got to stand up and end this treaty. But the leadership, this is what Chuck Pierce prophesied when the earthquake hit Washington, D.C., the Washington Monument fell over and or rocked or whatever. He said the reason why the leadership in the world is stuck, it's because the leadership in the church is stuck. Mm-hmm. It won't let go.
Mm-hmm.
It won't let God have it, you know? And it's like, because you can look at secular leadership and go, really? Mm-hmm. Are you, what kind of degree do you have? And the decisions they're making are like, you know, a lot of them, it's like a feudal mind. It's like, it's like, really? Where does that even fit? But then if you go back and look, it says, if my people who are called by my name, it's like the church is stuck. Mm-hmm. We're stuck in leadership. Mm-hmm. I think about Miles Monroe. Mm-hmm. You know, he just passed away. And right before saying that, he said that so often the church has to go pry the baton, like a relay race, and you pass the baton to the next one. They normally have to go to the casket, pry the fingers back, and take it out of the man who wouldn't pass it on to the next generation. And then he passed right after that, you know. And so this leadership, talk to me about what your, you know, the end of the four blood moons, meet the year.
Right.
Jonathan Connor, what he was saying, and what did that towards leadership? What
right. Was you know, there's it kind of goes back to a little bit of what I saw in the vision originally. But what I see, and I have a group of men that we get together and we just talk about what the Lord's showing us, particularly for our own homes. It was not for ministry of any sort other than to just be accountable for being where we are as men over our own homes. And
is there a title of this guy?
Yeah, we gave it a loose title of the Sons of Issachar.
I think that's awesome.
Kind of chagrined to that, but it's funny. We found ourselves discerning the times, like the Sons of Issachar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because when we come together, what we would find is all of our notes were exactly the same.
Wow.
And that was an encouragement that the Holy Spirit was speaking the same thing to each one of us.
That's what we're hearing a lot. Like,
that's right.
That's why we're glad to have you on, because like, I mean, this is like an amen to so many of our brothers and sisters, what you're saying.
And so when we started looking at the Shemitah, I read the Shemitah in the middle of a really difficult time.
Which is Jonathan Kahn's book.
Jonathan Kahn's book, The Year of the Shemitah.
Right.
And understanding that if Jonathan is correct, which I personally believe he is, that the 50-year Jubilee, right, going back to 1967-68 and then 1917-18, and if we go back to both of those, we look historically. Well, my group, we collectively put together everything that we saw coming, and the word came out from everybody, does everything in there? And I said, well, I think the most important thing is that there's going to be a real estate shift. If Jonathan Kahn's order of Jubilees is correct.
A real estate shift.
A real estate shift. Well, all lands go back to the original owner during the year of Jubilee.
Right, got it. Mm-hmm.
And during Shemitah, you're given that time to do it yourself, right? Willfully give back what doesn't belong to you.
It's a year of mercy, right? So you have a chance to just do right.
It's right. It's a year in which you personally are giving back what really belongs to God, right? And I believe Jonathan calls it a year of shaking. So God's really drawing us to let go of those things that are hay, wood, and stubble that really belong to Him. It's His real estate.
There's some statistics, by the way, of Barna that says 97%, I believe, of regular church attenders who gather at least once every 2 weeks don't even honor God with His tithes and offerings.
Wow.
97%.
Wow.
And you're talking about, we hadn't given what was His. What is this shifting going to be like?
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
You're talking about, wow.
Well, on a personal level, I believe that it's going to be difficult. But thinking in terms of Israel, people, the question among our group is, what's coming in September? You know, what's coming in September, October? I believe the world and the demonic realm has their own plan. And it's you really don't know whether it's truth or whether it's just a fabricated lie to create fear. Bottom line is, it maybe could be the truth. But it's not intended to be anything more than a distraction. And for us who are believers, because God has His own plan, and if we look at the appointed times that are in the Scriptures, God will give us these appointed times like mile markers. I believe the four blood moons are exactly like that. When you're driving down the road, they each, or they're spaced exactly the same amount apart in the Jewish calendar.
Wow!
So all four of them are like mile markers leading to an event coming up.
And like 150 years apart or something of that nature?
150 days, I believe. It's 300 days, I think it's 300 days in the Jewish calendar. I'm not sure, but whatever it is, the halfway point is every blood moon.
And well, I hate to do this. Can you stay for another program? Because, you know, this is so important because, you know, so often, you know, of all the things that happened when God began to make Israel right, and He dealt not with the sheep, per se, as much as He dealt with the king and the queen, Ahab and Jezebel.
That's right.
And He raised up Jehu to begin to change, literally, the heads. Remember?
Yes,
they just
absolutely.
Removed the headship. They gathered a small bell party and, you know, whoever wanted to do that. But other than that, the mass amount of people began to follow, you know, a righteous leader. But
yes.
It took a shift in leadership to do that.
A radical shift.
Yeah, and we're about to come to an end here. Can you stay for another? I would love to have
and
talk to about this.
That would
it's
be
so
great.
Important about the leaders, and because the leaders, as a leader, we can just say, "I'm sorry." We can go back to the ways of God and say, you know, whatever God wants to do, that I want to be a part of it. But can you close us out in prayer? A lot of people are hearing right now. Had a lot of hope, and just take a minute and just pray for our audience right now, if you would.
Absolutely, Holy Spirit, we just invite you in right now. To every heart and every mind, we just say yes to you.
Yes.
You're the comforter. You're the one who brings strength and understanding. You're the one who opens the Scriptures to our eyes.
Yes.
So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to every listener and to all who are in the studio today, that, Lord, you would open our eyes and our ears, that we may see the truth. The angel told Daniel that things were shut up until the end. So the things that Daniel saw, he was not allowed to understand. That they were for us in these last days.
Yes.
And if we are truly in the last days, Lord, we pray that you will open the minds and the hearts and the eyes of every believer that is listening, that they may see the truth and that they may be free, Lord.
Yes.
That no fear would come upon them as we talk about these things that are the end of the age, and that no worry would come upon them of this world, but that, Lord, you would put in them a flint heart that would be straight and clear, and that they would focus on your plan for their home, for their personal life. And we pray that over them right now in Jesus' name.
Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening.
Yes,
God bless.
Lord.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation life.